Today I will be reading from Revelations chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped.
Please be seated. Yeah. Well, can I just tell you, I am not as certain about things as I was when I was the age of our high school graduates. I'm not certain about my body. I know a long time ago somebody told me getting old's not for sissies. I didn't believe them. And now I know. I don't know if I'm going to hold up, right? And I don't know about my mind. I'm not sure that I any longer have the ability and the capacity to take on any more information and process it and be discerning about it and know the answer to any question except for, "Are you hungry?" And the answer is always yes, right? I can do that. I'm not sure I'm capable anymore of dealing with the life's toughest questions. Just not certain about it. Emotionally, man, I am a mess. I am. I just wonder, should I be this agitated, this anxious, this stressed out all the time? Right? Am I burned out, or am I just being ungrateful, or right? Do I not play enough golf, which is probably the answer? Man, I'm just uncertain about things, right? Politically and socially, man, I don't even want to go there. I have no clue. Do you? What's going to be next and what's coming up and what it's going to look like, not, you know, tomorrow, much less, you know, 5-10 years from now. I just don't know. I don't know what's the best thing. Honestly, I do not know what is the best thing politically and socially for our culture. Clueless, right? Financially, I'm starting to talk about the R word. Man, I'm thinking, am I going to have enough money? Is my money going to be longer than my years, or my years longer than my money? And I know what you guys who are there are thinking about now. I don't know. I don't know about the economy. Are we going to have recession, depression, inflation, you know, bears or bulls? Man, I don't know. I'm thinking, just put it all in cash and put it under your mattress, but give me your address when you do. You know what? I am so just, you know, pounded with uncertainty. I'm not even certain what I'm uncertain about. Theologically, the same thing, right? Things that I knew for sure 20 years ago, I challenge myself and wrestle with all the time. And I read the Bible, and I promise you, every time I read it, somebody puts more words in here. Isn't that right? Like, where did that come from? And what does that mean? And I'll just tell you flat out, I've said this before, now I'm saying it on public. I read Paul and I go, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the one thing, you know, I guess the one thing that he said, right? I'm determined to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. Just uncertainty, right? It's everywhere, isn't it? It's everywhere. And listen, uncertainty just can eat you up, and it just drains the life out of you, doesn't it? Because we're the people who want to know. And honestly, if we're being truthful, we're the people who want to be in control. And I think about our time, and I think about us. There's a guy that I can't even imagine what his world was like and how uncertain it was. Because he is isolated and removed from everything that he knows for certain and everyone that he knows who loves him and supports him. And you know what he has to do all day? You know, there's no golf courses in sight. There's probably an ocean in sight, but there's no fishing rods. There's no library, right? There's no Netflix. He has to sit all day and just think. Now, if you're like me, you know what the scariest places in the world is? Inside my own brain. You're exactly right. Can you imagine doing that all day, every day, for a time frame that you have no idea when it's going to end? That's what you do. You just think about stuff. Well, that's uncertainty, isn't it? And on top of all that, this poor guy is overwhelmed by the Spirit of God and given this vision that we call Revelation. And it is, listen, it is terrifying if you just read it on the surface, right? It's a scary movie. Weird creatures and bizarre sayings and weird things that happen and frightening details and lots of uncertainty. And if your name is John and you live on Patmos, you have to feel a little bit uncertain, don't you? Isolated from everyone because of who you love. And then you have this vision. And the vision starts out, it's not very comforting and certain. I mean, there is this voice that says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end. And then you meet this character, this man, who has white hair and fiery eyes and brass shoes and a sword coming out of his mouth. And that's not very comforting and, you know, making you feel certain about stuff, right? Uncertainty. And then the vision goes on and there's these letters to the church. And you start reading about the church. And you read stuff like, hey, I know you do good stuff, but you're really not committed to Jesus. And I know you're busy and you look alive and your calendars are full and you have a cool website, but you're dead on the inside. And that, you know, you have this strong desire to welcome people in and invite the stranger, and just like that you tell them, no, you can't come, and no, you're not part of this, and you exclude people, and you follow this kind of train of orthodox teaching and thinking, and soon as some whiz-fizz charismatic speaker shows up, you'll go, well, I'll follow them, and don't even think about it, just like, you know, dogs going for a treat, right? My dog loves me when I got a treat in my hand. Man, does that give you certainty about the future of the church? Man, it's messy, isn't it? Messy. And there's John, and he just keeps getting visions, and he keeps getting visions, and he's going, he's got to be thinking after the first three chapters of Revelation, what in the world did I sign up for? Because this doesn't look very certain to me. And then just like that, he's whisked to the throne of God. Beautiful. This great image. And terrifying at the same time, right? Weird looking creatures and thunder and lightning and, you know, whatever God looks like on the throne. I don't know. It's terrifying. And God's got something in his hand. And what God has in his hand is certain. Problem is, it's sealed up. Seven seals, which means it's completely sealed, I think that's what it means. And as John looks around the throne room and he sees these winged creatures and these 24 elders and thunders and lightning and radiant stuff and brilliance and loud things going on, you know what he's looking for? I need certainty. And it's not to be found. My soul's crushed for him. Here he is, all alone, on the island of Patmos, being exiled because he loves Jesus, and he has this vision, and everything is uncertain, and nothing looks clear, and the answer is right there. And there's no one to give him the answer. When John first met this character in chapter 1 who had the white hair and the fiery eyes and the tongue coming out of his mouth. You know, John fell down as if he were dead. So terrified. And that creature, that man, talked about get up and don't be afraid. And I'm about the resurrection and eternal life. This time, though, that's kind of encouraging. But this time, when he looks around and the things that is certain is right there within his grasp, or at least in where it can be revealed, and no one is qualified and no one is available to bring certainty, it brings John to tears. He weeps. I think I'd rather be dead than the first vision, right? Not this one, where it just seems so hopeless. And then we're introduced to the strangest, most wonderful creature of all in Revelation. The same creature who was the man in chapter 1 is now different in chapter 5. He is a lamb who's been slaughtered but is still alive. Well, that's kind of terrifying in itself, but, you know, this isn't a zombie movie, by the way. But this lamb is unique because this lamb is powerful. 7 horns. It's a picture. We should have put a picture up there, an artist's rendition of this. A lamb with his throat cut and 7 horns coming out of his head. Powerful. And 7 eyes. Knowledgeable. Sees everything. Knows everything. And that's founded by these 7 spirits. That is omnipresence everywhere, all the time. Fully aware and fully engaged. This is the lamb. And you know what the lamb does? This weird creature. I'm still trying to figure out if lambs have hands, but I guess they do. Is he reaches up and grabs the scroll. Certainty, right? Because the scroll contains everything that matters forever. And he's got it in his hand. And I want you to put yourself in John's position, like, is that thing really worthy and qualified to give me certainty? And before John can say a word, you know what happens? The chorus of heaven, these creatures, and who sound, I'm going to guess, sound a little bit like you do this morning. And these 24 elders. And all of a sudden, as soon as this lamb grabs the scroll, they cannot contain themselves. Right? This is like making a 3-point shot with .00001 on the clock to win the state championship or whatever it is, right? I mean, it is like, whew, man, they're so excited. About a lamb. With 7 horns and 7 eyes and hands. I'm more terrified than excited, but, you know, it's a vision. And they begin to sing about this lamb. You know what, I bet John's heart is just pounding. Right? What's going to happen next? And as they sing, worthy is the lamb, right? They begin to talk about the accolades of this lamb. Powerful, compassionate, insightful, present, active, very alive, resourceful. And they are, I'm telling you, they are raising the roof singing. Because he is not only there, he is more than capable of executing whatever's on this scroll. And they seem to take a little break, and then they get right back at it again and sing more and sing more and sing more. And just listen to the accolades, right? Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals. You were slain by your blood. You ransomed people for God, every tribe, language, and people from every nation. And you have made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth. They, by the way, is us. We're they. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Man, John's got to be feeling a little bit better, right? Because this Lamb is the one who bought us back from sin and death. This Lamb is fully capable of controlling everything. This Lamb has defeated every enemy, especially death. This Lamb has empowered us. You know that? We are a kingdom of priests. That is, this Lamb has made us servants to co-reign with Him on this earth. It's good to be the king. Maybe a little responsibility there too. Man, the heavens can't sing loud enough about the worthy Lamb. And I think about all the things that I'm uncertain about. Right? Health, money, my kids, my parents, you, the people in this community. All the things that I'm not sure about. Why does God have me here, right here, in this place right now? I don't know, really. I got broad brush, big picture stuff. I don't know. What's God going to do with this church in the next 10 years? I don't know. But I do know something, that the Lamb is worthy. And when the songs finish and the accolades stop and the praise quiets down for just a moment, you know what the elders and the four living creatures recognize? This is certainty. You know how I know that? They just simply say amen. By the way, amen is not the end of a prayer. Amen is the affirmation that God hears it. Let it be so. Let it be so. Start popping those seals, Lamb, and let us know. We'll trust you. See, what the creatures and the elders and that vision of that throne room, what they said was, we are certain about this Lamb. We trust completely in this Lamb. We are willing to be completely devoted to this Lamb. And you know what? We trust in the grace of this Lamb that helps us when we're those churches in Revelation 2 and 3 that just seem to get it wrong sometime. Amen. Let it be so. So over the last, you know, few days when I've been thinking about all these things I'm uncertain about, I realize I am certain about something. And certainty for me and you has a name. His name is Jesus. And He is very much in control of this world. He is very much aware of my circumstances. And He is very capable of leading me and guiding me and saving me and empowering me to do whatever He wants me to do. I just have to say to Him, amen, let it be so. Let it be so. Let's pray. We are so grateful for the worthy Lamb, for the certainty that He provides, for the assurance that He gives us that no matter what happens in this life, He is forever present, and He is forever looking, and He is forever helping, and He is forever guiding, and He's forever inviting us to be in His presence forever. Thank you. Thank you. And let it be so. Well, you know, salvation is a weird thing for a lot of us. Maybe not for you, but it is for me. To think for just a minute that as I transgress what God has put before us in this covenant relationship, that the son of a Jewish carpenter who was born through a virgin and could live a life and die on a Roman cross and be resurrected, that could save me eternally, right? It doesn't make, listen, on the surface for us logical Lockean rational people that doesn't make any sense, does it? But on the other side, when you open up your mind and have what we call faith, right, it makes perfect sense. Who else could save us but the one who was in heaven, who lowered himself, as we talked about in Philippians, practiced downward mobility and met us where we are and became one of us so that we could become like him? And you know, it takes blood to wash away sins, and he did that. And he just says, trust that. It is certain. Because here's the other thing I'm certain about. People ask me, Greg, are you saved? And I can tell you with 100% confidence, yes, I am. Not because of Greg, but because of this Lamb who's worthy. Right? Because I'm going to mess it up. Trust me, I'm going to mess it up. I do it all the time. He never does. And he never disappoints. And he never stops saving. And he never stops loving. So he invites you, man, experience that. You want certainty. His name is Jesus. And if you hadn't surrendered to him yet, you don't know certainty yet. You got a chance today to do that, to confess him and to surrender your life, to be buried with him in baptism, to come in contact with his blood, to receive his spirit, to be cleansed and to be free. And that freedom is certain. Whether you're in jail on Patmos or in your car stuck on I-35, right? You're still free. So we'll give you that opportunity this morning. The elders are going to be at the back. If anyone has a need, please see one of them. Let's stand and sing.